entering our third hour of the show today. We're getting into our encounter with God. But before we do that, let's get into our quiz question. Please, producer Jules.
Let's do this. Question number four. This is a fill-in-the-blank question. How beautiful upon the mountains are the blank of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Oh, yes. Lindsay, quick off the mark. Let me read that again. How beautiful upon the mountains are the blank of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. That bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Right. If you know the answer to that, you can text. Yes, well done. Both our hosts are onto this today. Text us on 0491 064669. Our text number is 0491 064669. If you know the missing part of this text, how beautiful upon the mountains are the blank of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. I'll give you a hint. You can find that in Isaiah 52:7.
Okay, thank you. Really appreciate getting that quiz question and also appreciate the fact that I won. Haha.
You did. Well done. Hands down. You're okay. Not competitive at all, are you, Lindsay?
Not at all. Now, at the beginning of today's show, we were talking about the reason why I love quiz time and I love winning quiz time. It's because of the dopamine hit. But there's a little bit more to it than that that we need to be careful about, because you have little receptors in your brain. And these receptors can receive oxytocin and serotonin and dopamine and all these yummy cocktail of happy hormones.
Feel goods.
Feel good hormones. Dopamine is the one that I get from winning things, and we all get from winning things or doing things and getting a result. But the problem with that, or like eating a piece of chocolate, eating sugar, you know, whatever kind of addiction that we have. Mm-hmm. I'm addicted to winning quiz time, apparently. The problem with that is that if we fill up our receptors with dopamine, then we block those receptors from receiving oxytocin and serotonin. Oxytocin is the bonding hormone. If you have too much dopamine and winning, you're not able to connect with people as well. You're not able to experience the feeling of connection.
That's fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's a great tip for calming those addictions.
Absolutely. Do you want to be addicted or do you want to be connected? Your choice, but you need to have self-control.
Yeah, so maybe that's why competition sports is not
really great for connection.
Has a downside.
Has a downside, definitely, for your connection and your relationships. So there we go. Let's jump into our encounter with God. We're looking through, we've just started 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We just finished 1 Corinthians yesterday, wrapped that up all in a nice little bow. If you missed that, you can go back to check it out on our Faith FM website or our app. Please download the app. It's a good time. You get everything that you need, no matter what your reception is like. But now we're getting into 2 Corinthians. Take it away, Ben. What are we going to learn about today?
Yes. 1 Corinthians, of course, the Church of Corinthians, Paul established the church in Corinthians. He loved the people. They loved him. And the church was developed when he left. He was there quite some years. And then following that, some false teachers came in, stirred up the people, false doctrines and different things. And so Paul wrote the 1 Corinthians to the church to correct a number of these things. From that time, there were people that started working against Paul and turning the church members against Paul, saying he was fickle, he was proud, unimpressive.
Oh.
Yes, his appearance and speech, he was dishonest and unqualified.
Oh, so they're just like all out bullying Paul.
Yeah, they were all slandering, all out to take him out.
Wow.
Yeah, and unqualified, you know, as an apostle.
Mm.
And maybe because he wasn't with the 12 disciples.
Following Jesus.
Following Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Paul sent Timothy to, was it Timothy? Paul sent Timothy to Corinth to undo, you know, what the damage these people were doing. On Timothy's return, he came with good news and saying, the church has realized that, you know, they've been misled and that you are what you are. And so Paul writes 2 Corinthians in appreciation for the main majority of the church, holding him in regard again. And we see this in the beginning of a letter. It states what are the key principles in the letter. So, Lindsay, if you'd like to read verse 1 and 2.
Okay, sure. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in all Achaia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Notice he begins his very first words, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. So right up front, he's establishing that it was God's will. He was called by God. Jesus, you know, appeared to him on the horse riding to Damascus and said, Paul, you are going to be an apostle to Gentiles. And so right up front, he establishes what this is. And the Corinthian church originally fully believed this. To the church of God, which is in Corinth, and all the saints who are in all Achaia. And so he's acknowledging that it's the church of God, not his church.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Even though he's an apostle, he's not the owner, he's not the head of the church, God is. And then grace to you and peace from God. And so he brings in that God's grace, his peace, he is the Father and Jesus is Lord. Yeah, so this is lays the groundwork for the 2 Corinthians. All right, can you read verse 3 to 7?
Yep, sure. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. Okay, I'm noticing a few mentions of suffering and consolation. Yeah.
Yes. Interesting.
Comfort, consolation.
Yes. In this passage, the word comfort, consolation, is a similar word, occurs 10 times.
Wow, 10 times.
Yes.
Crazy.
Just in these verses.
I have to underline that.
Yeah. All right. So very clear what he's talking about. And interesting, it's 29 times in the book of 2 Corinthians, the word comfort.
Wow.
29 times in the book.
And 10 times just in, like, what's this, five verses?
Yes, yeah. So the word suffering too is significant here. And because of suffering, comfort is necessary or a craved thing to be comforted. And he talks about Jesus suffered a lot. And because Jesus suffered, he is what qualifies him to comfort us. But also, what do you think about the idea of, because we suffer, we can be understanding and comforting to other people that are suffering? What do you think of that?
100%. Just this past weekend, I was preaching a sermon and I shared some really difficult things that I experienced as a young person growing up. And that sermon ended up on the internet, and some other people who weren't even there that day have come up to me since watching that and been like, you know what, I really appreciate you sharing so openly about your experiences in the past, because, like, it's really helped comfort me, because I've gone through things and I thought I was all alone in it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I've done this too. When I first went to my church here in Dora Creek, you know, I shared my story over two or three sermons.
Yeah.
And just, you know, the challenges and difficulties that I had, and many people came to me and said, I identify with that, and yeah. I really appreciate it. It was helpful.
Yeah.
And helpful to see how I turned to God for comfort and for encouragement and strength.
Yeah.
All right, verse 8 to 11.
Verse 8 starts by saying, "We do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, but that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many."
Yeah.
What is going on here?
Yeah. Paul didn't have life easy.
No, he did not. He went through just about everything you could go through in that time. Like, he got stoned a few times. We think he might have died and got resurrected once or twice. Like, he was, every bone in his body was broken, and he had bad arthritis and blind and all sorts of things going on.
Yes.
Shipwrecked and yes. Imprisoned and falsely accused so many times. What else is there? I can't even remember. There was heaps of things that he experienced.
Yeah. So, you know, Paul in Corinth even, he was so discouraged that the city was so wicked and that he didn't think his time there was worth anything. And he was about to leave, and God came to him and said, "Paul, there are many, many people in this city that will accept me. And so it encouraged Paul to continue on, even though it was difficult.
Mm.
And his life was threatened, he said, even daily.
Yeah.
Paul was saying that, you know, he sacrificed a lot because of his love for God and his love for the church and for people. And just think that God understands and knows what we're suffering, and God is there to comfort, and God is there to stand by us in suffering. Also, the Corinth church, he was acknowledging their suffering, that they were, you know, in a city that was very difficult for them to live in and to have their worship. All right, verse 12 to 14.
Okay, let's get into it. It says, "For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and more abundantly toward you. For we are not writing any other things to you than what you read or understand. Now I trust you will understand even to the end, as also you have understood us in part, that we are your boast, as you also are ours, in the day of the Lord Jesus."
Yeah. All right. So why do you think he's using these terms, you know, "we ministered to you and worshipped and led you as church leader in simplicity and godly sincerity"?
Interesting. "We conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God and more abundantly towards you." Now, if I recall correctly, this was a part of the ancient world where they really highly valued philosophical conversations. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So when Paul is speaking to them, even though he's had high training in Jerusalem by the, you know, head Pharisees there with the greatest education, he comes from a Roman background, he understands philosophical conversations, but you know what? He's just a guy all the same, and he doesn't come across as overly impressive in his ability to speak necessarily, his presence, his demeanor. None of that is anything that's overly impressive to catch the attention of these people who are used to experiencing impressive orators and speakers, right?
Yeah.
And so he's saying, I'm not using the worldly, fleshly approach. I don't need that. God is the one who's given me the message for you. He's given me the strength and the boldness to give it to you. And I'm also approaching you in sincerity, right? I'm giving you truth. I'm giving you the essence of God's character here. Why are you looking for something based on a worldly way of doing things? Why are you so impressed by that? Why can't you see what God is doing in the humility and the humbleness of this world?
Yeah. Not all of the church were still in favor with Paul, even after what they've done. And so here the word simplicity is purity of motives and godly sincerity, that his message was from God and not his own ideas. So again, he's reaffirming his apostleship, that he is God-inspired and that he is worthy of listening to and looking up to.
Yeah.
So you too, as listeners, you know, you can look up to God. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was asking the Corinthians to listen to him for the way that he was speaking God's truth, not in the worldly way.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
We are halfway through our encounter with God, looking at 2 Corinthians, and we're about to get back into that. But before we do, we have a quiz answer and our final quiz question for today's show.
So the missing word was feet. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace.
The footsies.
Shout out to Viv, Janelle and Davo for getting that one right.
Good job,
and
guys.
Our quiz line.
Awesome. All right. So what's the next question?
So our last question of the day is following on from that question previously. What New Testament book quotes references this verse? So what New Testament book quotes and or references this verse? Is that the bottom one?
Bottom one.
No, that is not it.
Rude.
No, that is not it either. Oh. What New Testament book references this verse?
This is New Testament.
But it's not the right book. If you know the answer to that, text us in on 0491 064 669. That's 0491 064. Yes, Lindsay is onto it. Well done. 0491 064 669. If you know the New Testament book that references the previous verse, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace.
I can't actually see what
That one either. New Testament, Ben.
Yeah.
Oh.
What did you write there?
Jeremiah.
No, that is Old Testament, my friend. Okay, well, let's keep going with our encounter with God. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Where did we get up to? I think we're up to about verse 15, aren't we?
Yes.
All right, well, let's
verse 15.
Get going.
Yeah, read verse 15 from, verse 15 to 17.
To 17? It says, And in this confidence I intended to come to you before, that you might have a second benefit, to pass by way of you to Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you, and be helped by you on my way to Judea. Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no?
Mm.
Okay, what's going on?
So Paul was accused of changing his mind and being fickle, not knowing what he was doing. And there was challenge here because Paul intended to go from Ephesus to Corinth to Macedonia, back to Corinth and then back to Ephesus.
Okay. So in the modern world, this would be like Turkey and Greece and just like that corner of the Mediterranean Sea. He's kind of circumnavigating a little bit, going back and forth across the major trade routes. And so that's the plan he's got at the moment.
Yeah.
He had previously.
Yeah. And he's asking them the question, you know, do you think I'm just lightly considering all this stuff, or just what I think, and not making concrete plans for the best of the church. And so he said, my yes has always been yes and my no's have always been no. And so he's appealing to them saying, you get that, you know how I operate. And so he's defending his case that he was accused of, you know, not knowing what he's doing. So continue on, verse 18. Maybe we read all the way down.
Yep, okay. So from 18 to 24 it says, but as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Moreover, I call God as witness against my soul that to spare you I came no more to Corinth. Not that we have dominion over your faith, but are fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand.
Yeah, just keep going. Chapter 2, verse 1 and 2.
Yeah. But I determined this within myself, that I would not come again to you in sorrow, for if I make you sorrowful, then who is he who makes me glad but the one who is made sorrowful by me?
Yeah.
What is he saying?
So his first letter and his first visit to Corinth was to correct a lot of errors.
We
and
saw a lot of that in the last few weeks, definitely.
Yes, and so it made the church, you know, hurt a bit and bring some sadness to them, realizing they were far away from what God wanted them to be.
Sure, yeah.
And Paul is giving the very good reason why he didn't go to Corinth a second time. He said, Paul really loved the church there and loved the people, and he didn't want to cause more hurt and more pain and more sorrow, because if they heard that he was coming, they would have thought, oh no, here we go again. You know, we're going to be treated like children, you know, insulted maybe, whatever it might be. And so he said, you know, verse 23, I call God as witness against my soul. In other words, his decision not to go to Corinth the second time, that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth. Not that we have dominion over you, over your faith, but are fellow workers for your joy, and by faith you stand. All right, and so here he's saying that God, it was for their betterment that he didn't go, and that he sent Timothy and he wrote a letter instead. And so I'm sure they would have thought, oh, yeah, we can see that we would have felt, oh, no, here we go again, you know, Paul's coming. And he's expressing his ministry of love-driven ministry for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's why I read on to chapter 2, because the chapter
Didn't cut off quite at the right spot.
Yeah, yeah.
In that right. passage.
Yeah. So he said, I determined this within myself, that I would not come again to you in sorrow. For if I make you sorrowful, then he who makes me glad, but the one who is made sorrowful by me. So Paul is saying to the church, in a roundabout way, God is a God of comfort. He's there for their good and for their well-being, for their joy, and for their faith, and encouraging them to stand in faith. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just put ourselves in this position. How much people that are in leadership, you know, teachers or pastors or advisors, counselors, how much they have your interest at heart. And while some things might be not easy to swallow or to take what they're saying, it's better a yes be yes in kindness and love, and a no be no in kindness and love. You know, to help each one of us.
Have you ever experienced church members who don't want to listen to your authority.
Yes, yes.
How has that gone down?
Yes. Oftentimes not well.
Yeah.
And I think I've had to learn to be a bit more tactful and a bit more kinder.
Like gentle,
kind and gentle. Yeah. And the Bible talks about being, what is it, harmless as doves and wise as serpents.
Yeah.
And Jesus was very tactful himself. And Jesus was accused of, you know, being authoritarian, you know, you call yourself God and all the rest of it. Similar thing. And many people turned away from Jesus because his teachings were often yes, yes, and no, no. Just on this point with yes, yes, Paul is actually appealing that God, in sending Jesus, Jesus was the yes to humanity for us. I don't know if you saw that in here, verse 20.
Yeah, I saw something about a yes and amen.
Yes.
Can you unpack that for us a bit?
Verse 20, for all the promises of God in him, in Jesus, are yes. So the promises of God were in a person, in the gift of Jesus, and the gift of Jesus was God saying yes to humanity, saying yes to you individually as a person.
Mm.
That Jesus was.
So wait, hold on. If I ask God for a puppy, he's going to say yes to me and Jesus. Is that what he's saying here? What do you mean?
Well, yeah, we often apply these things to literal prosperity or whatever it may
sure.
be. But here it's you know, peace and joy and happiness.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
And the grace that we experience from God. The promises of God are yes. And so just think that God is saying yes to you by the offer of Jesus.
Yes, and to me, that he loves me, that he is for me, that he's on my side in the sense that he's like got my back. Is that what you're meaning?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And it's the next part there says, and in him, amen. In Jesus, amen. So this is like the conclusion, and so be it. And
yeah, it's covenant language for the Jewish people, particularly whenever they would come to particular like a public conversation or come to an end of some type of agreement, each party would say amen to ratify the covenant, to say we agree to the things that have been spoken about, we are witnesses. We believe that this is all true and factual, and moving forward, we want to agree to that.
Yeah. Verse 21 again, you know, it is God who established us, Paul and Timothy and the apostles, with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. And so Paul is again affirming his place. As their, you know, that he loved them deeply and God was guiding and caring for them. Verse 22, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So for this first introduction to Second Corinthians in the first chapter, there is a God of comfort. There is a God that stands by us in suffering. And there is Paul here in simplicity or purity in motives and godly sincerity. And for the church to be spared, you know, the church has always through the ages has had false doctrines, attacks. Satan is trying to discourage people, and Satan is trying to take leaders down and take the respect of good godly leaders down. And for each one of us to look to God and to Jesus as the yes from God. Just think that this is favored. We're favored by God, and this is what grace is. Grace is favoring us by giving Jesus to you and to me. Yeah, so in your life, have you experienced good leaders and God's grace through those leaders?
Ooh, let me think about that. I feel like I'm naturally more inclined to think about the bad leaders that I've come across in life, but I'm sure, yes, I definitely have had some good leaders. I can think of one particular pastor that I was Bible working when I was living in Melbourne back in 2021. And this particular pastor, I'm going to call him out because he's such a great guy, Pastor Fraser Catton at Burwood Adventist Community Church.
Okay.
He is probably my very favorite pastor and leader that I've ever worked with. I was a brand new Bible worker. I didn't quite know what it meant to work in a local church. And he was just so great in his leadership and sitting down with me and a couple of the guys who were doing the job and his associate pastor. And he would just, you know, chat with us, check in with us, do a Bible study, help us to understand principles of discipleship, talk about, you know, what are we facing in our ministry? How can he support us? He was the most supportive and best leader I think I've ever had. And I'm so grateful I had that experience with him.
So you were younger at that stage?
I was always younger than I am today. I was probably around, oh goodness, what was that, 2021. So I would have been about 26 years old.
Yeah.
Or like 25, turning 26 around that time, yeah.
Yeah. When I was growing up, I had two key people in my life when I was a teenager. You know, I was still at school and then just started work. And it was our Pathfinder leader, and we just loved him opening the Bible to us. And I can remember him going through difficult stuff, you know, prophecy, Daniel, Book of Daniel. And it just oozed out of him the love of Jesus and sharing with us.
Mm-hmm.
And even to this day, you know, many years later, 40 years later, just went to see him last Christmas. And it was just so wonderful to sit in his presence and to hear him just share, you know, the years that have gone by for us. Yeah, so there was another guy when I was married. We were attending his Bible study group,
mm-hmm.
and his Sabbath school lesson classes, and it was just so encouraging and heartwarming, and as here comforting even what he was teaching, because Kaylee and I were just married. We had challenges, and there were experiences in life. We were broke. And
yep.
Lots of debt.
Yeah.
And so for somebody in the church to be a support, encouragement to us was a real great thing.
Mm. Awesome.
I wish Paul was my church pastor.
You reckon?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
He's harsh. I don't know. I feel.
Yeah. I'm sure he was a friendly guy. He was just like, we just see the stuff he writes mostly. But I think, yeah, he was friendly. He was very social. He connected with people. And, I'm sure he was a fun guy in his own odd way, but he was just a zealous guy. And I think he might have just been a bit too intense for my liking on an everyday basis, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, well, I mean, I can be pretty intense sometimes, but I try to turn it down and, you know, add a bit of humor in there. I haven't really seen a great deal of humor from Paul personally, have you?
Yeah, well, not humor, but just affection, I think.
Yeah, more affectionate than humorous, yeah. Definitely. Hey, we are going to get back into that again tomorrow.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And we've come towards the end of our show today. What a sad moment in the end of the show when we have to start to say goodbye, but not for very long. There's more shows throughout the day that you can tune into, and we will be back again tomorrow to share the good news of God's love with you and uplifting news stories as well. But right now we have got a book that we want to share with you. This is called Daring to Ask for More by Melody Mason. Melody Mason has written about divine keys to answered prayer. Have you ever felt like your prayers barely hit the ceiling and they don't go much further, and that God's not really listening, or he certainly couldn't care less to answer your prayers? If you've ever felt like any of these things and you want some guidance in how to pray effective prayers and get more out of your prayer time with God, then this book is something that you'll want to grab a hold of. If you want to get a hold of it, you can text us #ask to 0491 064-664-669. That's hashtag ask for 0491-064-669. Now, please, producer Jules, we need to get a quiz answer.
So the final answer for the day is, what New Testament book references the previous verse, which was, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. I love that. It's just so peaceful. Mm. I like reading that. So that reference was in Romans 10:15.
Yeah. Yeah. As I was thinking, I was like, is it Matthew? Matthew does a lot of referencing for the Old Testament, and that was not correct. And I was like, no, it sounds like Paul would write that, because Paul talks about sharing the gospel a lot, and that verse is about sharing the gospel. One of my very favorite verses, believe it or not, is one of Paul's writings, and it's about...
I'm surprised.
I know. Like, from a very early age, I felt called to gospel ministry, and there's this one verse, I'll probably butcher it a little bit, but it goes along the lines of, how will people know unless they are sent, right? How will people know the good news unless they're... it's preached to them. How will anyone preach unless they are sent by God? It's about apostleship. It's about discipleship. It's about being sent to share the good news. And it's very much in line with this verse also about how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel.
You must have beautiful feet, both of you.
I would say I do. It's poetic about how beautiful it is that a person would be willing to go.
Yes.
Using their feet or using whatever means they have possible to share with other people.
Yeah.
Yes, and in the Bible times, it was everything was on foot.
Everyone was
or
on
horses,
foot.
But yeah. Not many people owned a horse or a donkey.
No, but they must have been pretty fit.
Yeah. Hey, I've got some comments that have come through that I want to acknowledge. So the last couple of days, I've been asking for people to interact using emojis. Were you here when I asked for that a couple of days ago?
Yeah.
We've actually had some takers.
Oh, what?
So in one of our previous quiz answers, the answer was wind. And so Janelle sent us a little wind emoji. Thank you so much, Janelle. And then I see that Jules has been sending the wind emoji back to people to let them know they got it correct.
I have. It's super cute. I love emojis. I'm a huge fan.
And Davo sent us like an emoji with like a wind blowing more wind, or like a face blowing the wind. Kind of looks like a cloud blowing another cloud. And we've got a few more love hearts and smiley faces. And oh, I see you've put some feet in there, feet emoji for our other quiz answer.
Yes, getting very creative today.
We've got a thumbs up. We've got some footprints. I'm really enjoying this, man. That's a lot of feet.
Yes.
That you sent.
No words. Just the feet say it all.
Yeah. We've got a very cute smiley face with like a little blushing. And I think that might be all of them. But yeah, thank you so much for playing along and sending us cute emojis. I love seeing really creative emojis. Mm. I used to actually be the kind of person who hated emojis. Like, I don't ever want to use emojis. I just want to be like straight to the point and direct. And I used to like gag when my cousin used to like text her boyfriend and use all these emojis. I'm like, guys, calm down. Like, you're being gross, you know? But no, I think it's fun. Like, I want to see you guys texting in. Text me some fun emojis, something that's like really personal to you or something that's like an in-joke for the show. Maybe send me, I want to see some emojis coming through about what you think about Scaffy.
Oh, this well, could be either dangerous or
my brother-in-law puts emojis on messengers.
Yeah.
And so when it reads back all these these emojis are.
Like it reads it out aloud.
Yeah, it reads it out aloud.
Smiley face with wink eye.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Okay. Well, hey, we're nearly finished our show, but I really want to quickly hear from you guys. What's been your favorite part of today's show?
Well, I like that song about winter. Winter's coming to an end.
Winter.
I've never heard that before.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, that was amazing.
I forgot about that. That was beautiful. Yeah.
Awesome.
I like that song too.
What about you, Jules?
Oh, so many things. It's hard to choose.
One or two or three.
Look, my heart really goes out to those in Nepal. I've been to Nepal trekking as well, and they have so little, and it'd be devastating, absolutely devastating.
Absolutely.
So keep those guys in my prayer as well. And it's just phenomenal how much is really happening around the world. It reminded me just to be ready every day.
And speaking of keeping people in prayer, we just remember we have a prayer city, and today it's Nagoya, Japan. So keep them in prayer that the gospel will go out to them as well and into all of the world as we are sharing on Faith FM. But remember to talk faith, live faith, and act faith, and you will grow strong in Jesus Christ.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.